Our mending series here by Baptist Mission Australia, and we've been focusing on this next couple months on mission in particular, and it's a blessing to have Argus. Next week we've got a gentleman coming from Prison Fellowship Australia who's going to be sharing about the ministry and work that they do and how we can also have an opportunity to be involved in that as well. So I encourage you to come along next week. But this goal of mending is the idea that we know so well, as was illustrated beautifully for us last week, that the world is broken. When we look around the things that are going on, we recognize that it's not how it should be. And so God is on this mending process of bringing it back and restoring it to the way He originally created it. And the blessing for us is that we get to be co-menders in this process. Last week, Colin showed us that we can be co-menders through renewing, which means that we walk in the power and presence and fruit of the Spirit, which allows us to join in God in bringing healing and renewal. Today, we are going to be looking at another way that we can be co-menders, and that is by relating. Relating. And the reason why relating or relating to others in particular is important to being co-menders is because relationships are powerful. In the 13th century, there's a rather crude and cruel experiment carried out by Roman Emperor Frederick. So he wanted to know what the original language of mankind was. Was it Hebrew? Was it Greek? Or was it Latin? And so he concocted this experiment that he thought, well, if I just take a whole heap of babies and I isolate them from any sort of human voice or sound, then surely they will just start to speak their native tongue themselves. And so, I mean, it's the Roman emperor, so he got to do what he wanted to do, even if it sounded ludicrous. And he found some women who were willing to be wet nurses, silent wet nurses, and swore to abstain from speech. And so they would go and feed the babies without any sound at all. And sadly, after a few months, the infants had never heard a word and had passed away, every single one of them. And it's a sad experiment, but it shows us the importance and the power of relating to people. And we've all sort of experienced this as well with the COVID pandemic. The isolation that we were forced into revealed to us the need for having interactions and relations with other people. We also know, though, on the flip side, that relationships are powerfully positive as well. They can bring things like joy and growth and happiness and experiences and pleasure and transformation. Those relationships that we have, the BFFs, our best friends forever, or even our romantic relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends when we were growing up, or now maybe your spouse, or even your parents, or that particular relative that you just have this incredible relationship. In these relationships, we see the power positively of relating to others. And just an example from my own relationship with Shamila. When Shamila and I were dating, there were a number of things that I did that were way out of my comfort zone, way out of my repertoire at the time. Things that I learned. I learned how to Bollywood dance. Not only did I learn how to Bollywood dance, I also Bollywood danced in front of her whole family the first time I met them as a bit of an initiation. And we got married, so I must have done all right. Eating spicier food. I actually used to cry eating sweet chili sauce before I met Shamila. Now I can eat chicken sambal, which if you know what that is, it's extremely spicy chicken. It's still hot for me, but I can actually eat it without crying now. And even when we were dating, she was living in, she was studying here, so in school holidays or college holidays, she would travel back to Singapore to be with family. And so one time when she traveled back, I even recorded a song for her of me singing the song Beautiful Soul by Jesse McCartney. If you know it, I'm not going to sing it for you now. Had a few little actions and things like that, but things that I would never have done if I didn't come into a relationship with Shamila. But not just if I didn't come into a relationship, but more importantly, I wouldn't have done these things if I didn't value the relationship that I had with Shamila. Wouldn't have put myself through the agony of eating spicy food all that time. And I'm sure maybe you have relationship examples in your own life that have been powerfully transformative. Maybe it was that best friend that just helped you step out into a new area of life or was there to help you overcome a fear. Maybe a romantic relationship that led you to discover a new talent that you had a passion for. Or maybe a parent or a relative who stood by you during your failures. A spouse who showed you a new way of looking at things. The relationships that we have in our lives can be powerful tools to bring joy, growth, happiness, pleasure and transformation. But in our passage that we've seen today, Jesus is going to show us that we can use the power of relationships to join God in being co-menders and mending this beautiful, broken world. And that is by co-mending through relationships. And the first way we do this is by relating through proximity. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, is where we saw Jesus walking along the shores of Galilee, where he's about to call his first disciples. A passage that we know so well within the church. Straight away, we see, though, that Jesus' approach is just quite different to how maybe many other teachers, even today, but at the time, would have been the cultural norm. See, most of the religious leaders and Pharisees and teachers, they would have had this pride about them and would have expected, oh, I'm the teacher, I'm the rabbi, so people should come and ask me if they want to be my disciple, which is not what Jesus does. And we see here with the disciples, and not only the disciples, throughout Jesus' ministry, we see this again and again, like the man at the pool. Obviously, he wasn't even able to come to Jesus, but Jesus went to him. Zacchaeus in the tree. I'm sure it wasn't by chance that Jesus walked past him. Jesus knew where he was going. And likewise, another example with the woman at the well. See, Jesus was intentionally going into proximity of those that he wanted to share the mission of God with. And when Jesus enters into their proximity, rather than expecting them to come to him, he shows that he is always looking for an authentic relationship. Because Jesus knows that authentic relationships are fundamental to the mission of mending our beautiful and broken world. And that's why, like, even when we hear about Argus and what he has been doing, living in the community that he wants to minister to. And then if you've heard of any mission organizations, the one big thing that they often stress is the importance of embedding yourself in the community that you're ministering to. And so for Argus, that meant living in the village, doing life with the people, speaking their language. But what about us? What does that look like for us today, here in Australia, in Brighton, Woodcroft? How do we embed ourselves into our local community? Holdfast Bay Council area, or even Adelaide, our larger community. It begins with proximity. A few years ago, the May Missions theme was crossing the street, and it comes back again. Crossing the street to talk to our neighbours is a way that we can start to embed ourselves in our local community. Giving a welcome gift to a new family that's moved into the street. Inviting a colleague from your workplace as family over for dinner. Maybe coaching a local sports team. Volunteering at the school. We have the breakfast club here. It's got a number of people from the community volunteering. But we see in Jesus' example that proximity isn't just enough. Well, it is enough, but it needs to be more than just being present. It means to be genuinely interested in understanding and connecting and empathizing, that's got my tongue in a twist today, with people's worlds. Like, we can very easily just go to Lombok and have a holiday and not make an impact. But when we are intentional about going there to be in proximity with the people, to get embedded into their community, we can change people's lives. And so relating through proximity challenges us. It challenges us here in our community to reflect on our willingness to step into other people's lives just like Jesus did. The second way that we can be co-mentors through relationships is through relating through shared lives. And Argus said that exact thing, that he wanted to share his life with the people, the Sasak people. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He didn't just hang around the proximity of the people that he was hoping that, oh, maybe they'll come and talk to me, or if I just walk over here, they'll notice me and say, hey. No, Jesus was intentional. He openly invited the disciples into a relationship. When he said to them, he said, come and follow me. He was opening an invitation to them, not just to follow him down the road to grab a coffee. He was opening them to an invitation of sharing life with him. They wouldn't just learn from him. They would walk with him. They would eat with him. They would see him do miracles. They would sleep where he slept. They would see him cast out demons. They would also see him shed tears for Lazarus. They would see him be rejected by the people in his hometown, and they would even see him suffer on the cross to begin mending this broken world. Sharing our lives isn't easy. It means for us that we need to let our guard down. We need to let our walls down. We need to be willing to be vulnerable with one another. We have to be real about the struggles that we actually face. But this is what authentic relationships look like. You would all know from the ones that you have in your life, the relationships that you have now and the ones that have stuck through, they haven't always been easy. They might have been hard work. But that hard work that you've put in maybe years ago has seen transformation in both parties. You've been enriched, you've been encouraged. And eventually, I hope for many of you, that that has led to deeper relationships. Not just surface level, but deeper, more meaningful relationships with conversations in particular around faith and around hope that you have in Jesus and God's work in your life. In my previous church up in Queensland, our leadership participated in this two-year training course called Building Discipleship Culture. In one of the training sessions, it talked about this very aspect of sharing our lives as a great way to disciple people to Jesus. The thing that I loved about the way they explained this session in the training course was that they explained away the fear that many of us often have when it comes to sharing our life. We start conversations with people and we get into friendships and we feel like that the things that we're saying to them are just not deep enough and they're always just surface level and we struggle. Is it, I'm not saying the right things, or I don't have the confidence, is my faith not strong enough to take this relationship to the next level? And the thing that I loved about this training course is they encouraged us to see each relationship on a journey. Some of our relationships in our life, as you would all be aware, have no spiritual discussion at all. They might even be with people who are rejecting Jesus or have no interest in talking about that at all. Whilst then we've got other relationships on the other end that are only deep conversations about faith and God's work in the world around us. And the thing that they said is, we get so caught up in worrying about, oh, all my relationships need to get to the deeper end. They need to be about God and about faith. And if they're not getting there, I'm doing something wrong. But they said that that's not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to move someone from not wanting to know about Jesus to being completely in depth in faith conversations. The role and the responsibility that that is given to is the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. All we have to do is pray and turn up by being intentional about spending time and life with others. That's it. It's really simple. Just be consistent. And that person who doesn't know or doesn't want to hear about church will see something different in you as you turn up again and again and again. Relating through shared lives prompts us to consider how to invest more intentionally in our relationships, just like Jesus did. And the third way that we can co-mend through relationships is as credible witnesses, relating as credible witnesses. And we see this immediately after Jesus called the disciples to follow him, inviting them in to sharing their lives together. He says to them immediately, he says, just be aware, if you enter into this relationship, it's going to transform your life. And he says to them, they will no longer be fishermen fishing for fish, but they would be fishing for people. Their renewed words, actions in relationship with Jesus would now point the people that they were relating to the hope and transformation that he brings. And the same is true for us today. We weren't maybe fishermen, but we are all now fishing for people because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Because of the relationship that we have with him has transformed us. As Colin said last week, it's renewed us through the work of the Spirit. Our words, our works, and our ways in our relationships and our life are now a testimony to the grace and the love that God has shown us. We no longer live for ourselves anymore. We live so that others around us can see Jesus Christ in us. And that means that we embody the fruits of the Spirit that were demonstrated for us last week through Colin's message. When we live our lives as credible witnesses, it won't matter if we don't have the right words to say. in our relationships and friendships, because our actions will speak louder than any words. This week, as I was preparing my message, I got a bit distracted, as you could imagine. I was just on my phone, checking some emails and then checking some Facebook, and a video popped up. And it was actually a video about a pastor over in America who was dealing with a homeless guy who was cursing in his church. In the middle of a sermon, live streamed, and the guy was preaching, and a guy just yelled out a bit of a curse word. It happened a couple times, and so the pastor stops his sermon and just starts addressing this homeless guy. But what happens from addressing this homeless guy is that it reveals that this guy's first time to church. The mega church over there, don't actually know what church it was, but someone from the service before the current one that the video came from had attended, and this person had heard the message and had gone home. And on his way home, he'd seen a homeless lady on the side of the road. And he said, I'm going to get some food for her and bring it back to her. So he goes into this takeaway place, grabs some food, comes back, the lady's gone. He can't give her any food. All right, well, what does he do then? He could have easily gone home, ate the food himself, but instead he then goes looking for someone else to give the food to. And he comes across this homeless guy. And he says, I had this food for someone else. I don't know where they are. Would this be helpful to you? And then the homeless guy obviously says thank you and starts talking to him and asking him what he's been doing. And he says, oh, I was just at church this morning, just on my way home from church, and tells him the story about the homeless lady. And then for some reason, the guy just says, I'd really like to go to church. He's like, oh, yeah, okay. And for many of us, maybe we would have come across a situation like that and be like, oh yeah, well, I've already been to church, so you can go to church somewhere. I'm sure there's many around. But the guy says, I want to go to church now. And so this gentleman, a young guy, he says, all right, I'll take you to church. And so he then drives around, picks the guy up, and goes back to his same church to listen to the same sermon, sit through the same service again because of what was preached in his message. He didn't say anything magnificent to the guy, and he didn't actually know anything significant was really happening in this man's life until he gets to church service. And they're sitting through the sermon, this homeless guy starts calling out curse words. And he's like, what have I done, sort of thing, sitting there. Probably, we don't actually see him until later, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's hiding his face, regretting what he'd done. But then the pastor invites this man, and his name's Anthony, up, who invited the homeless, or brought the homeless guy along. And then the homeless guy starts sharing how he was getting ready to kill himself. He was going to jump in front of a truck that day. It's about 3 minutes before this guy came along. He had the plans, and that's why he's by the side of the road, planning to end his life. But because of this guy's actions, he took what he'd heard from his church and straight away put it into action. It wasn't the words that he did, but it was the willingness to act that saved this man's life, that brought this man to Jesus. Being a credible witness doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. Doesn't mean we have to formulate the right sentences when we are talking to people or when we're in relationships with people. But it does mean that we need to be authentic in the way that we are acting. The way we love and serve those who we come into contact with as a representation of Jesus Christ for them. Relating as credible witnesses challenges us to be living out the gospel daily in our lives. So as we come to a close, we're going to be focusing on missions for the next 2 months. And as followers of Jesus, we have all been called to the mission of sharing the gospel and participating as co-menders with God in mending this beautiful, broken world that we live in. A vital way that we can do that is by being intentional about developing relationships, starting with proximity. We already have people that live in our neighborhood. We already have people in our workplaces. Maybe we're involved in social clubs or gatherings. They're people that we already come into contact with. And once we know the people in our proximity, the next step is to simply start putting out invitations for them to join us in sharing life together. By being open, being vulnerable, and real with one another. And then whether these people accept our invitation or not is not up to us. That is the Spirit's work in their life. All we need to do is to make sure that our witness, our actions, our words continue to credibly reflect Jesus Christ's hope and transformation in our lives. And if we can do these things intentionally in our relationships, it will give our relationships the power to be participants in God's mending work within our broken world. Because co-menders live as credible witnesses to Jesus, building relationships and sharing stories of hope and transformation. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you willingly invite us into sharing in your life. Not only sharing in your life, but being transformed in the way that we act and live, Lord, so that we can be participants in the journey of mending this broken world that we live in, Lord. We thank you for the grace and mercy that you have shown us. And we pray, Lord, as we talk to our neighbors, as we interact with our colleagues, as we say hello to people in our social groups or sports clubs, Lord, we might not have the perfect words to say that would make them have no choice but to come to Jesus, Lord. But we do have the ability to act and speak like Jesus did, to be a shining light to them. Help us to do that well at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.